If you have a copy of God's Word this morning, our passage is going to be Psalm 146. Psalm 146. I'm going to pray for us before we dive in to God's Word this morning. Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day. As we open up your word, may it be made clear and plain to us by your Spirit. And by your Spirit, may you continue to shape us and sanctify us until we enter glory. All this we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. So if you have your Bible, we will be in Psalm 146 this morning. I'm going to read Psalm 146. We'll give some background after that, and then we will walk through this passage together. Psalm 146, starting in verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Psalm 146 picks up where Psalm 145 ended with praising the Lord. Psalm 145, verse 21 says, "My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." This is how Psalm 146 begins and ends, with praising the Lord. And there's similarity between Psalm 146 to Psalm 150. This section of Psalms is called the Hallelujah Quintet that ends the book of Psalms. This section in Psalm 146 to Psalm 150 is similar to the Psalms that we have covered over the previous weeks in Psalm 111 to Psalm 118, with the focus of praising the Lord and trusting the Lord. Psalm 146 is believed to be a Davidic psalm with a chiastic structure, which means the points or themes match until the main point is revealed in the middle. And so the Lord is to be praised and he reigns are the similar points in verses 1 and 2 and verse 10. Man cannot save, the Lord saves. We see these similar points in verses 3 and 4 and verses 7 through 9. But at the center of Psalm 146, the main point of Psalm 146 is, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So in this psalm, we are to hope in the Lord. A majority of the psalms point us to trust, to hope in the Lord, and this one is no different. But what is unique in Psalm 146 is how clearly this psalm lays before us the inability of man to save. and then the unfathomable glory of God. In man, there is no hope. In God, there is an abundance of hope. He will remove evil. He will care for the oppressed. He reigns. And there are four different names of the Lord used by the psalmist in this passage. If you use the Legacy Standard Bible, that translation is very helpful in this passage to see the different names for the Lord used. Yah is used in Psalm 146, verse 1, which is the first mention of the Lord in the English Standard Version. Yahweh is also used in verse 1, which is the second mention of the Lord in the English Standard Version. Elohim is used in verse 2, and then El is used in verse 5, which means mighty. So the names of the Lord in the psalm are used to reflect the character of God and His reign. He deserves unending praise and glory. And so as we walk through this psalm, let us be reminded today that as believers in the Lord Jesus, our hope is in our big God who reigns. And we have 3 points for this morning as we walk through Psalm 146. The first point, do not place your trust in earthly rulers. Do not place your trust in earthly rulers. We'll look at verses 1 through 4 for the first point. Do not place your trust in earthly rulers. Our second point, place your hope in the Lord. Place your hope in the Lord. We'll look at verses 5 through 9 for the second point. Place your hope in the Lord. And then for our third point this morning, the Lord's reign. The Lord's reign is eternal. The Lord's reign is eternal. And we'll look at verses 8 through 10 for the third point. So for point number one this morning, do not place your trust in earthly rulers or princes. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. So as this passage begins, we are immediately met with one word in Hebrew, hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise the Lord or praise Yahweh. And so the psalm begins with a call or command for all people to worship the Lord and to praise the Lord. It is a corporate call for believers to praise the Lord. But this call, this command, does not just stop at believers. The command is for all of creation to praise the Lord. From Psalm 148, we see that from the heavens, sun, moon, stars, all of the earth, creatures, mountains, and hills, kings to children, all are to praise the Lord. Verse 13 of Psalm 148 says, "For his name alone is exalted." So all of creation corporately should give praise to the Lord. And as verse 1 continues, the psalmist says again, praise the Lord. But then he narrows his focus upon himself with the phrase, O my soul. So corporately, as the people of God, we are to worship. But all believers are to worship at home when things are quiet. The Christian should worship the Lord in any location and at all times. We should pray that the Lord always stirs our hearts to pursue Him in the quiet, through reading the Word, through prayer and singing. It is often mentioned that we are to be a people praising Him regularly. If we only worship the Lord in corporate settings and not in our quiet times of study of the word and prayer, then we have missed. And if we have bought into the lie of our day that says God is wherever I want him to be and I don't need the corporate body of believers, we have missed. Both corporate worship of our Lord and individual quiet times are essential for the Christian life. We cannot separate the two. We're to praise God with his people and praise him when we are alone. This is not burdensome. This should not be weary upon us. It should not wear us down. But as we worship our God, he lifts us up. And as we go, we are a people who worship. The psalmist continues in verse 2, I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with all I have, or with all my, while I have my being. And so as long as we have breath in our lungs, we should give our God praise. When we no longer have breath in our lungs, we will see him and behold him forever. So we worship our God now and for eternity. So starting off in verses 1 and 2, the psalm shows us that we should give praise to our God both corporately and individually. Then in verses 3 and 4, we're reminded that we should not put our trust in princes. The word princes here in verse 3 means those of nobility or earthly rulers. Those who have been given some type of authority. Then the next phrase, in a son of man, it means humanity here. This phrase, son of man, means humanity. Many of us are aware of the phrase son of man referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. He being truly God and truly man. But here, this phrase is just a reference to humanity in general. Do not place your trust in earthly rulers or in man. Why? Scripture says there is no salvation found in them. These rulers and kings, they're powerful, but they cannot save. They cannot accomplish what is needed for a people. All rulers and leaders will fail, and all will give an account to our Lord. At times in the Old Testament, we see that Israel thought alliances with other leaders would save. They would put their trust in the wrong deliverer. No mere human can deliver man from what we need to be rescued from, which is sin and death. And think about the history of God's people as they would have read this psalm. Put not your trust in Cyrus, the king of Persia. Put not your trust in Caesar. Put not your trust in the kings of Europe or Asia. Put not your trust in King Henry or Napoleon. Put not your trust in George Washington or Ronald Reagan. And as we think about the author of this psalm, under the inspiration and authority of the Spirit, King David, would he be able to deliver? No. Put not your trust in King David. And we can add any earthly ruler there. James covered this last week in Psalm 118, verse 9. Scripture says, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Beloved, every leader will meet their end. And when compared to the Lord, we cannot put our confidence in any man. Earthly rulers will lose trust. But the Lord should be trusted in all things at all times. But God's word does not stop with the phrase, in whom there is no salvation. Scripture continues to emphasize man's lack with the next few phrases in verse 4. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth, and on that very day, his plans perish. This portion of the psalm is alluding back to Genesis chapter 2. The Lord gave breath. Now breath departs. He was made, and now this man, this Adam, returns to the earth. All of mankind will one day give their final breath, whether they are a ruler or a peasant. And when one gives their last breath, God's word says, on that very day, his plans perish with him. This phrase here of his plans is similar to that in Jonah chapter 1, verse 6, with the use of his thinking. Whatever he was planning for the next day or thinking that he would accomplish, it would not come to pass as this one takes his last breath. Life is not a video game. You cannot reload after death. When one dies, they are now in eternity. And when these leaders breathe their last, their accomplishments are forgotten and they're wasted away. He has returned to the ground. He has returned to the earth. This is recalling Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Before we move to this next section in the psalm, I want us to just quickly reflect about the difference between these leaders, these earthly leaders, and King Jesus. When these earthly leaders breathe their last, their kingdoms are wasted away. When the Lord Jesus breathed his last on Calvary's cross, he provided redemption for a people once for all. This was and is the greatest accomplishment of all time for all time. God the Son dying in the place of ruined sinners and redeeming them. Unlike earthly leaders that cannot keep any of their accomplishments, Christ has kept his with his own blood. And he was raised from the grave. So do not be swayed by our current culture that says we need to trust in the rulers and leaders of our day. Jesus, the true King, was slain for us. And may our hope be in him. As we continue to this next portion of the psalm, with point number 2, we're to place our hope in the Lord. We are to place our hope in the Lord. Let's read verses 5 through 9. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. As the plans of man perish with them, the help and hope of a redeemed people is the God of Jacob. And as verse 5 begins, the rendering of the word God here is important. We're given the word El, which means mighty. Our mighty God comes to the aid of his people. He hears the prayers of his people, and he meets our needs according to his will. If our trust is in princes or in man, we should only fear. But if we trust in the Lord, we have hope. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. Why is he blessed? Why is it a good thing that the God of Jacob is the help and hope of a people? Over verses 6 through 10, we see God's word expounding upon this. The Lord made, he keeps, he executes, he gives, he sets, he opens, he lifts, he loves, he watches, he upholds, he brings, he will reign. And verses 6 through 10 here are similar to Psalm 145, verses 14 through 20. So what we see the Lord doing here, the Lord does these things for a people. And he should be trusted. Our hope is not in this upcoming election. It's not in any football team. Our hope is not in our jobs or the stock market. As believers, our hope, where we find our rest, our peace, and joy, should be found in our Lord now and forever. And all of our efforts should be spent to that end. As we walk through these few verses, rejoice in that every description of our big God. This is every phrase is a description of our big God that cares for his people. We see in verse 6 with the first phrase, the God of Jacob, the Lord, made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. The Lord spoke and the world came to be. All that is in creation has come from one God and Maker. This is the God of Jacob. He created and so ordered creation for his glory, that by it the grass would grow, dolphins would move in the waters, and the men and women would have oxygen for their lungs. Everything in creation testifies of a creator that has given significant detail and meaning to all things. And so for us, as we look upon creation, this shouts the glory of God. But not only that, the second phrase in verse 6, he keeps faith forever. He will not fail or abandon his people. He's not going to fumble in his care for his people. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. He's the only one who can and will keep. Psalm 12, verse 7 says, you, O Lord, will keep them. You will guard us from this generation forever. But not only that. In verse 7, he executes justice for the oppressed. Psalm chapter 9, verses 3 and 4 says, when my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne giving righteous judgment. The Lord will judge the unrighteous who afflict and oppress his people, and he executes his justice from his throne. But not only that. The second phrase in verse 7, he gives food to the hungry. Our Lord gave his people manna in the wilderness. And Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 35, said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So the second person of our triune God refers to himself as the bread of life. In our God, we will not grow hungry or faint. He gives us himself. But not only that, the third phrase in verse 7, the Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord has brought a people out of Egypt. Psalm chapter 105, verses 37 and 38 says, then he brought out Israel with silver and gold, and there was none among the tribes who stumbled. When I read this phrase, I couldn't get over this phrase. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the dread of them had fallen upon it. the Lord has freed his captives to the point where his captives were glad that they departed. He has set the prisoners free in the Exodus. But this also points to a more grand account in which the Lord Jesus sets prisoners free at the cross. Charles Wesley wrote in 4,000 Tongues this phrase, the Lord Jesus, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoners free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. We were once held captive and enslaved to sin. And for those who reject Christ, they are still enslaved to sin. But because of Jesus, he has broken the bonds of sin. He has removed our chains. He has set us free to live for him and to glorify him. And it's not our righteousness that we stand upon, but his righteousness. Beloved, we live in a culture that not only are a people enslaved to sin, but the people enslaved in sin, thinking that it's by their sin that they will be set free. Let us share the good news and testify the saving power of our God through Jesus Christ. And not only does the Lord set the prisoner free, he opens and he gives sight to the blind. The Lord is the one who opens eyes. In John chapter 9, the Lord Jesus gave sight to a man that was born blind. So Jesus has done this physically. But in Matthew chapter 13, verse 16, Scripture says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." This has happened by the work of the Spirit. Our eyes were blinded by sin, but they've been given sight when we were born again from above. If we've trusted in Christ, we've been given eyes and sight to behold him. Look upon him and hope. But not only that, not only does he give sight to the blind, opening the eyes of the blind, he lifts up those who are bowed down and loves the righteous. He lifts up those who have been humbled. The book of James chapter 4, verse 6 says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And Psalm chapter 11, verse 7 says, "For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face." As I mentioned earlier, we are not righteous on our own account. It is the Lord Jesus who makes us and declares us to be righteous. And we see this from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So the Lord lifts up the humble, and he loves the righteous, his people. And then the next phrase we see in this psalm is that the Lord watches over the sojourners. And this phrase, "watch" or "keep guard," is like one in an ancient city at the city gate that is keeping guard and watching out for any intruders. Or you think of the old fire towers that were built high to keep watch over an area for potential fires. This is the manner in which the Lord watches over the sojourner. And throughout the history of the Old Testament and New Testament, the people of God have been sojourners or aliens. This earth is not our home. We are all sojourners or strangers in this land. And when we as God's people arrive to our eternal home with him, we will not say we are there because we're an American. We will declare that we are in heaven because of Christ's blood that was shed. And as the Lord watches over the sojourner, He upholds the widow and the orphan. The same word used to uphold the widow and orphan is the same word used in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Scripture says there, He upholds the universe by the word of His power. Our God, who has made the universe and upholds by the power of His word, He upholds, He sustains the orphan and the widow. The orphan and the widow can find their rest in God, who has His grip upon them. But notice here, too, the difference of this next portion as this psalm concludes. He upholds, He is making firm the orphan and the widow, but then He ruins, He frustrates the plans of the wicked. The way of the wicked will be brought to ruin. It will be brought to ruin because of the just judgment of the Lord. So as we move to our last point this morning, we're going to reflect more upon this. Our third and final point this morning is the Lord's reign. The Lord's reign is eternal. The Lord's reign is eternal. We're going to look at verses 8 through 10. Starting halfway in verse 8. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked He brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. So through 8b to verse 10, there's a continuation of the descriptions of what the Lord does or is doing. But this is a shift in the psalm in recognizing that the wicked will be judged. And this is eternal. This is not some short judgment in which the wicked will recover. Verse 9 says that the way of the wicked will be brought to ruin. This is eternal. This is forever. One is not coming back from this. And the Lord is over the destruction and judgment of the wicked. We were reminded earlier in this psalm that He is the maker of heaven and earth. He keeps faith forever. He executes justice. He lifts up the humble and He loves the righteous. The fate of the righteous and the fate of the wicked in this psalm is revealed. There's not an enemy of God that will be able to stand in judgment on the last day. And as the wicked meet their ruin, the Lord will reign forever. The Lord will reign forever. There is no doubt to this. There's a whole host of possibilities in my life. I could get in a wreck. I could not wake up in the morning. I don't know what will happen, but the Lord does. But here in this psalm, as we conclude, the Lord will reign forever should not be read or thought of in that realm of possibility or unknowing what may occur. We should read this with confidence in our God. This is not what it is possible. He reigns. He reigns. It is He who reigns forever. Earthly leaders will come and go, but the Lord will reign forever. And as we reflect upon these eternal truths, let us be reminded again of our frailty. In verse 2 of this psalm, it pointed out, as long as I live, as long as I live, we will die. But beloved, our God will not die. He will not lose His reign like man. He will not give up His throne. His reign is now and forever. So believer, rejoice. Rejoice. Give God praise, from generation to generation, the Lord is on the throne. He is the sovereign. Trust in our big God. And are we running to Him? Is our hope in Him? When we are overwhelmed with our griefs and our sorrows, where do we go? Turn to Him and hope in Him alone. As we have looked at Psalm 146, we're to praise the Lord. The people of God give Him praise at all times and in all things. Our hope is not in princes or presidents, but our hope is in the eternal triune God who has made heaven and earth. The God in which everyone will have to stand before and give an account. But for those who have trusted in God by the way of the Son, the Lord Jesus, we are given His righteousness. We are given the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And we stand before our God justified. So our God is our help and our hope. He has made, He keeps, He executes justice, He gives, He sets, He opens, He lifts, He loves, He watches, He upholds, He brings, and He will reign forever. So let us live lives that glorify our great God. We only get one life, and it will soon pass. Only what is done for the Lord Jesus Christ will last. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for time in Your Word. Father, as we sing again and get ready to partake of the Lord's table, continue to remind us of the work of Jesus in our place. And that by Him, we are set free. By Him, our eyes that once held on to sin have been opened to behold Him. And may we continue to be reminded that His righteousness is applied to those who believe in Him by faith. It's not our merits that we will be in heaven for forever. It's by Christ's merit. And Father, we thank You for sending Your Son who paid our penalty of sin and death so that we could have eternal life. Lord, may You continue to help Your people and be the hope of Your people. And may we, Your people, continue to speak the truths of the gospel to our neighbors, and may we take the gospel to the nations through church planting efforts, through missions, whatever that may be, Lord, use us, and may You continue to draw people to Yourself. All this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.